The learning tonight, our shiur, will be dedicated to Nishmas, a very, very special member of our shul who passed away 2 years ago. Today was his yahrzeit, Mr. Ira Lilinsky. Ira Lilinsky, Yisrael B'Rav Yosef, was a Holocaust survivor. The war started when, I believe he was like 4 years old. The Nazis came into his town when he was seven, and you know, he observed the art site of that day, June 2nd, 1942, the 17th of Sivan, for decades. And it was a very emotional day. We'd make a kalmali for almost all his family members. The only one to survive was him and his father, as the Nazis were gathering everyone to the center of the town over a big pit to shoot them and kill him. His father grabbed him by the hand, a seven-year-old boy, pushed a Nazi guard, and they just ran. And really an amazing, amazing person, a person of deep, deep emuna, even when your emuna, though, is like really beaten, you know, and it was battered and it was bruised, but he lived through that emuna for decades. Really an amazing, amazing person. Today, Yedalit Shvat, this is Yahrzeit, and his Nesham Shnav and Ali, and our Torah, we should be Zocha to bring him Aliyas Nishmasa. It's always exciting when you learn something and it inspires you so much and you forgot it and then you learn it again. It's like what? It's like a double gift, you know? It's like a double gift from Hashem. So there's a Sfas Emes that the Or Gedalia Yehu really explained so beautifully. That's one of those gifts. And he points out that we find in the introduction to Kabbalah Satorah, before we get to Kabbalah Satorah, in the beginning of Perek Yates. So it starts off Bachodesh Hashlishi. Let's say Spinei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, Beyom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. So there are many things to talk about this pasuk. The next pasuk, Vayisu Merefidim, Veyavo Midbar Sinai. But I want to focus on just those first two words, Bachodesh Hashlishi. So the Sfas Emes says Kedarko Bachodesh takes two words and brings you to another planet. Right? It's the beauty of such deep Torahs that you read two words, Bachodesh Hashlishi. What does that mean? Means in the third month, right? So get ready to go on a ride, right? So the Sfas Emes says, what does Bachodesh Hashlishi mean? It means with the third renewal of all of existence. He said there were three times creation was new. What was the first time creation was new? That was, of course, creation, right? Creation. Bereishis. What was the second time creation was new? Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Bayitzias Mitzrayim. And so the Sfas Emes says, as they come to Kabbalah Satorah, Bachodes Hashlishi, that this is the third Hischadshus that we have in existence. And he points out that this Hischadshus, of course, correlates to the three Avos. We know the Avos weren't just people. The Avos were spiritual ideals. And the spiritual ideal represented by Avram was, of course, what? Chesed. Olam chesed yibaneh, as David HaMelech tells us. The initial act of creation was an act of kulo chesed. All love from Hashem, right? And which is that? That's Avram Avinu, of course. What's Yitzchak Avinu? Yitzchak Avinu is gevura, the ability to pull back, right? What led to Yitzias Mitzrayim? We know that was also from Hashem, but we know the Jewish people had a partner. What did they have to do? Mishchu kechu, to pull your hand back from Avodah Zarah, and to take that carbon pesach, an act of what? Of tzimtzum, of holding yourself back. That's gevura. That's Yitzchak Avinu. And we know what's the third hischadshus. The third hischadshus is Kabbalah Satorah. And Kabbalah Satorah is, of course, in the zechus of Yaakov Avinu. And we know that each one of these three things, of course, and we've said this many, many times. This is Chazara. By the way, it was funny, Cheryl, one of my Talmidim, was making a bris. Said, Rebbe, I didn't listen to your share this week. Can you, like, get me Cheryl's notes? Like, I want to see if there's anything I can use. No, Mamish. He called me last week. He was like, Rebbe, can you get me Cheryl's notes? I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, didn't she take notes this week? I'm like, it was just very funny. So, you know, you get shout outs. Like, guys who listen to this, you know, they're like, wait, who's the Cheryl? How do we get her notes? Like, what's the deal? When's that safer coming out? So it was just very funny. I meant to tell you. So, but as Cheryl knows, as we've said this many, many times, that what's interesting thing is these three hischadshus, they're three sets of 10, right? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, the fifth parak, first Mishnah, ba'asara ma'amaras nivra olam, the world was created with 10 sayings, right? What happened at Mitzrayim? There were 10 makos, right? And in fact, many say the makos, if you're talking about Yitzchak, gevura of pulling back, restraining, the 10 makos were in fact the pulling back of the Asar Ma'amaros Nivra Ha'olam, right? We've pointed this out. And the last two are the most obvious. You just have to work them through that each one of the makos was pulling back one of the sayings. Well, the first makah is, it also works out very easy. What was the last saying that Hashem brought into creation, right? The last Vayomer act of creation was really Adam and Chava. What was the first makah? Blood. Ki Adam hu anafesh. The soul is in the blood, right? And what's the 10th makah? Makas Bechoros. What's the first saying? There are actually 9 Vayomers. What's the 10th? Bereshis. The koach of the beginning, the first. What's the second Vayomer? Vayomer Elokim? Yehi Or. What's the second to last makah?
Choshech.
So the makos are a set of 10 pulling back. A new beginning here also. And then we come to Kabbalah Satorah. And what is the third set of 10? Aseres Hadibros, and everyone mistranslates it. Because Aseres Hadibros does not mean 10 commandments, right? That's the Zuchus, the Oscars. Not that the Oscars need our Zuchus, right? Not that we need their Zuchus, right? But the Oscars, I just still remember when Billy Crystal was hosting, made the joke, what a night, your best friend wins and your rabbi wins. Because Robin Williams won for, I think, Goodwill Hunting, and Rabbi Marvin Heyer from the Simon Wiesenthal Center won for best documentary. That was the only, like, Oscar moment that's kedai to remember. But, you know, Billy Crystal. What a yid. So Lemaisa, right? It's not 10 commandments. Translate Aseres Hadibros. 10
sayings.
It's mamish basar mamaros. Again, what's interesting is mamar is, you could say, is a softer way. Vayidaber is a little bit a harsher way, right? And the Aseres Mamaros, it's kulo chesed. But when we come to the Aseres Hadibros, this is the covenant that the whole world is based on. This is the agreement, right? We've said many times, Imlo Brisi Yom Valayla, Chukah Shemayim V'Aretz L'Samti, the Navi tells us, Yirmiyahu, if there'd be a moment in the world without Torah being learned, the world would cease to exist. That's why we have to have time zones. Because when we're sleeping, in Australia they're learning, right? In Eretz Yisrael, when they're asleep, in Hawaii someone's learning, right? Or something like that, I don't know, whatever. I don't know the time zones exactly. I flunked that. I never had a class on time zones. So you have to be good at math for time zones, right? Right, Cheryl? But the idea is that really we have 3 different moments of renewal. And what's great is we know that they take place every day. There are numerous ma'amari chazal that guide us to the fact that creation takes place every day. How do we know creation takes place every day? We say it in davening. HaMechadish b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reishis. That God renews every day creation. Creation is renewed every day. How do we know Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place every day? Well, we said it last year, so someone should remember it. So I'm not going to call on anyone because I'm sure we all remember that, right? That's, don't worry, I'm not going to go. Right? I wasn't there, no, but you were, right? That Aseres said that Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place every day. That's why, remember the third section of Shema is Vayomer, and what's the key to that? The Gemara in Brachos tells us is because it has Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every day, remember Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, that every day they left Egypt a little bit more until they got to Kabbalah Satorah B'chodesh HaShlishi, until they came to the third great Hischadshus. And we know Chazal tells B'chol Yom Yuveinecha K'chadoshim, that every day Torah should be new to you. Every day there should be excitement in the mitzvahs that we do. And of course we know that that's one of the great struggles that the Nevi'im all talked about mitzvahs anashim milimuda. Whenever we're part of a system of action, it can become very hackneyed, it can become very trite, it can become very stale. And of course that's a sense of ischachus that we have to struggle to have every day, right? So it's just amazing that Bachodes HaShlishi, this Fasama says, these two doesn't mean the third month. On one level, it means the third month. But another level, it means that every day there are 3 senses of Eschachos. Every day there's the koach of Ava, of Hashem pouring into creation. There's the koach of Gevura, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of being able to take difficult situations and not only survive, but thrive despite the situations. And the third is that every day, no matter what our Kabbalah Satorah was yesterday, no matter what our relationship with Torah was yesterday, every day we could be Mekabel Torah again. Every day we could say, okay, my brachas weren't good. It's going to be better today. Yesterday I fell. I'm going to get back up, right? And we know that that's one of the major, major yesodos of what it is to be a Jew. So that's what the Sfasama says. Bechodes HaShlishi, this is the third Hischachas, and all three can be experienced every day. The energy of creation, of redemption, of revelation is to be found in every day. And in fact, we know that there are those that say that's what the three tefillos represent, which makes sense. Creation, redemption, revelation, right? Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So this is an idea that halavai, we can think about a little bit more throughout the week and really try to connect to it, what that means, that every day creation is anew, every day Yitzias Mitzrayim, every day is a Kabbalah Satorah. And then we come to Kabbalah Satorah itself. And when we come to Kabbalah Satorah itself, is a beautiful, beautiful piece from the Slonimer that really is just based on the first pasuk and a half. The first pasuk and a half, Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela lemor, that God spoke all of these things, saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha she'etzisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mibeis avadim. I am Hashem, your God, that took you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. So, of course, Rashi is bothered. Many Midrashim are bothered. Everyone talks about what is that introductory verse. Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela lemor. That God spoke all of these things saying. What's interesting is, what does our tradition tell us? Which of these Asar Tzedibros did Hashem actually speak? The first two, right? There's a famous Chazal that God only said the first two. The people wanted to hear directly from God, and Hashem said, okay, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what happened? Their souls left. Again, people say they died. Parcha Nishmasam. It's a much more beautiful image that their souls flew out of their body. Meaning their souls just wanted to be done with this world, to be connected to eternity, to infinity. So hearing the voice of God was such an overpowering emotion, experience, that their parcha nishmasan, their souls just flew out of their body, right? God says, okay, that won't work. Put them back in. Lo yelecha elohim acherim. Guess what? Parcha nishmasan again. And then the people realize, God said, okay, put them back. And then they're like, okay, Moshe, you take on. You take over, right? This isn't going to work, right? Third time's a charm, right? Third time's the chazaka. They didn't want that chazaka. So what does it mean, Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela lemor? That Hashem. What?
That's why it has to say that, right?
Yeah.
Because if Moshe's giving over the other start of the Asar Tzedibros, then like someone might think like that's Moshe giving it.
Oh, they're saying Hashem. That it's not from Hashem.
Yeah.
But so how are the Asar Tzedibros different than all the mitzvahs bechlal? Don't we assume that all of them were from Hashem on one level or another? Yeah. Right? I mean, that's what we said why the Gemara tells us that Asar Tzedibros actually didn't make it as part of davening. Was that last week we discussed
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Or was it
yeah.
Ready? Okay, well, it happens in a week. Forget. Okay, so, right, that why the Asar Tzedibros actually are not part of davening. But when you look at in the Noam Elimelech, right? The Noam Elimelech. So the Noam Elimelech says, Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela lemor, that Hashem said all of these things, lemor, to say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Noam Elimelech, the Rebbe Elimelech of Luzhansk, says that in this first mass revelation of all existence, what's Hashem saying? Hashem is saying that the purpose of all Torah is what? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Okay? That everything I'm telling you, all the Torah that I'm going to give you, has one purpose. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And what's interesting is that there are parts of Torah that it's really hard to see that. Did you ever look at the end of Vayishlach? You ever read the end of Vayishlach? For me personally, that's probably the part of the Torah that I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I never really appreciated the end of Vayishlach. You don't remember the end of Vayishlach? Because we skip it in schools. You all skipped it when you were learning it. And if you're teachers, no one teaches this. Because what are you going to teach these kids? A list of Gaiusha kings? You're going to list all of Esav's genealogy? What the heck is that about? Why do we care about that? Do you ever notice? Vayishlach is a big parsha, right? But it's not such a big parsha in terms of the stuff we actually listen to. But once you start going into, after Yitzchak Avinu dies, Perek Lamed Vav, we go on and on and on. We say 43 psukim, all talking about Esav's progeny. Talking about these different kings that come from Esav. Why? What's the purpose of all of this? What's the purpose of all this stuff? If you're going to learn Kabbalah, the seven kings of Edom that died, or the seven spheros that came into this world and broke, and the spheros Kalim, and that's why they're the klipas. And yeah, okay, we're not going to do that tonight. We're not going to get into that. Arizal talks about that. But some say that everything in the Torah, and this is a point of emunah, everything in the Torah brings you to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Whether you understand it or not, whether it's conscious or not, it all brings you to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And this is, of course, the broader issue that we've addressed different ways, that what's Torah really about? The Arizal was Megalitos. What's Torah about? And this is what Kabbalah is all about. How do you have an infinite God accessible to finite creatures of flesh and blood? Meaning, what's all Kabbalah about, right? It's about how God, that is infinite, that is beyond any type of positive knowledge, according to most, how do we connect to God? We're so low. We're nothing compared to the Ribono Shel Olam. What does that mean? So how do we connect to Hashem? And so really, all of Torah is coming to the point of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's what all of Torah is. Anochi, and what does Anochi stand for? And this is the beauty of it, right? We've said this before. It's a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Hei, where the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Dalet Kuf Hei talks about all these crazy, not crazy, beautiful, wacky Ramazim hints and allusions through the letters of the Aleph Beis, right? And it talks about different words or combinations. So what does the word Anochi stand for? Ano Nafshi Chsavis Yehavis. That I, my soul, I'm writing it and I'm giving it to you. Now, what does that mean? Some say that literally, just understanding the Gemara in a simple way, that I myself wrote the Torah and I'm giving it to you. But I'll pick up, you know what Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehavis means? That I wrote my soul into the Torah and I'm giving you my soul. That what is the Torah? The Torah is the way to attach yourself to God in the deepest way. That's what Torah is. Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehavis. Anochi, when you come through Torah, what do you come to? Anochi Hashem. You come to Emuna of Hashem, of the transcendence of God, of Haya Hovaviyah, that God is the Adon Kol. God is the master of everything. That's one thing Torah brings you to. And what's the other thing Torah brings you to? Elokecha. That this transcendent God that is beyond all existence, is beyond time, is Elokecha, that he's your God. That you can have a close, personal relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And he's the Kol Yachal. That's what Elokim means. He's the one that's in control of everything. Right? Adon means a master. Okay, master of the house. But Elokim means the Bala Kochos Kulo, that everything is happening through him. That he's the one that's turning everything. And he's Elokecha. The Ribono Shel Olam wants that close relationship with you. So when we talk about Anochi, Hashem Elokecha, that Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehavis, Hashem saying, I'm writing my soul, I'm giving it to you, and what is it, the purpose? Hashem Elokecha. That you should come to know, to have faith, that Hashem is the Adon Kol, Hashem is transcendent, Hashem is Bal Rachm, and yet he's Elokecha. Hashem is involved with us, Hashem cares about us, and Hashem is very, very much in this world. And if you believe that this is what the Naam Elimelech is saying, Vaydar Elokim, Eskol HaDvarim HaEla Leimor, that this is what all of Torah is about, Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yavis, Hashem Elokecha. That's what all Torah is about, bringing us to this level, that all Torah is about Emunah, all Torah is about living that Emunah, and having that relationship with Hashem. So the Naam Elimelech says it's beautiful. It's a Gemara that always bothered so many. What does it mean that Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah? Like, really? Avrinu kept the Torah. And they're right, different midrashim about, you know, he's doing Pesach. Like, okay, I get it. What does it mean? He really did the whole Torah? What does that mean? What does that mean? Avram Avinu did the whole Torah, kept the whole Torah. So the Melech says, what is the whole Torah? The whole Torah is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Vaydaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela lemar. Hashem said all of these things, lemar, saying to teach us, to tell us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Yes, Avram Avinu did that. Avram Avinu had that deep emuna, that burning emuna, the emuna chushis, the emuna that was so overwhelming, the emuna, as we said before, that wasn't just in the mind, wasn't just in the heart, but the emuna that was in his limbs. God was so real to Avram Avinu. He kept the whole Torah in that way. Does it mean that Avram kept every mitzvah? Does it mean that Avram did Shiluach HaKan, and Avram Avinu took Trumas HaMaestros, and Avram Avinu set up an Ir Miklat, and Avram Avinu... That seems not possible. What does that mean, right? I mean, Avram Avinu was a Kohen Gadol. Avram Avinu had Yom... Like, what, obviously there are mitzvahs he couldn't do. So what... And every time there is a mitzvah he did, okay, there's a lesson in that specific mitzvah. What does it mean that he did the whole... that he kept the whole Torah Kula? That's a Gemara in Kiddushin Pei Beis Amud Aleph. It means that he had this idea of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. All of the Torah is about bringing you to this emunah. Avram Avinu lived with that emunah in a deep way. And in fact, as Zohar says, "Vaydar elokim es kol," right? What's that kol? Vashem beirchas Avram bakol. That's what the Zohar says. That here in the beginning, "Vaydar elokim es kol," Hashem said all, and the pasuk towards the end of Avram Avinu's life is Hashem blessed Avram with kol, with everything. That Avram Avinu was on this level, and that's why he brings down a wild pshat, right? By the Akedah. Right? At that moment, that Avram Avinu, and this is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. This is such a beautiful Torah. It's like, it was worth it coming tonight just to hear this Torah. Just to hear, like Mamish, just to hear this one Torah. So Avram Avinu, it's at Dakeda. It's the moment of truth, right? It's a moment of truth. He goes up with his son. He binds Yitzchak Avinu on top of the Mizbeach. And what does it tell us? Pasuk Yud, Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Yud. Vayishlach Avram es yado, vayikach es hamachel es leshchot es bino. So it's a very strange lashon. Very strange language, right? Vayishlach Avram es yado. What does that say? Avram sent his hand. Vayikach es hamachel es, he took the knife, leshchot es bino, to slaughter his son. That's very strange. Where do we find that? Vayishlach Avram es yado. Avram sent his hand. Sinatam Elimelech says, wow, listen to this. It's wild. It's mamish wild. The Nam Elimelech says, Avram Avinu, Vashem Berchas Avram Bakol, Vedar Elokim es Kol, Hadvar Me'ela, Nochi Hashem Elokecha. Avram Avinu had emunah not only in his mind, not only in his heart. Avram Avinu had emunah chushis, had the highest level of emunah in his senses. He had emunah in his limbs. Did Hashem want Avram to actually shecht Yitzchak? No. So what couldn't Avram do? He couldn't shecht Yitzchak. When he put his hand to try and get the knife to shecht Yitzchak, his hand wouldn't go. Why wouldn't his hand go? Because Hashem didn't really want him to shecht Yitzchak. It's like, what? Holy cow, no? Yeah, what do you mean real Hasidish answer? This is the answer. This is the Hasidish answer. I won't tell your husband you said that, right? Certainly won't tell your son, Hirsch Meilach, you said that, right? But the idea of Vayishlach Avram es Yado, what does it mean? Just say, Vayikach Avram es HaMachel, it's just called Espino. That Avram took the knife to shecht the son. Why? Vayishlach Avram es Yado. Again, you could read on one level that Avram was struggling with himself, maybe you want to say. Again, we don't find that anywhere else in the text, though, that Avram hesitates. We don't, and that's what Chazal say. Vayashkim Avram baboker. We don't find hesitation anywhere. Again, you could argue that, but the Nam Elimelech is saying that Avram, what does it mean he kept the whole Torah? He had all of the emunah that all of Torah is supposed to bring you to. Avram Avinu reached that level. That's why he is the pillar of faith. That's why a Jew who goes through the greatest tzaras in the world, like we were talking about, you know, Mr. Lilinsky, whose yahrzeit was today. Mamashi, I once read his testimony about how he went, when he was running away with his father, they got separated in the forest. He fell, he tripped, a 7-year-old boy. Think about how big a 7-year-old boy is. His father's schlepping him, they're running, the Nazis are chasing, bullets over there. He trips, he falls like into like a swamp. It's only hours later, his father retraces his steps, finds him, and his father makes sure he's alive, and then he says his father, like, falls on the ground, starts crying and says, Kaddish. Just like, it's crazy. How does a person like that believe? It's unbelievable. It's mamish unbelievable. Because what Kabbalah tells us is that every Jew in her deepest place, in his deepest place, is a spark of Avram, has that spark of Emunah. The Magen Avram that we referred to at the end of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, many say, it's that spark of faith that every Jew has no matter what. He could throw on the greatest tumah on top of it, but every Jew ultimately has that spark. And there are many stories in the camps. Famous story of Schneidweis, of people who were Afi Karsim, were Kofim, that were Moser Nafshim, Al Kiddush Hashem, gave up their lives in sanctification. People never fasted Yom Kippur in their life. Right? A famous story the Blujava Rebbe would tell. But this is the idea that Avram Avinu was on such a level, that Yishlach Avram Yisrael, he has to push his hand forward. But this is what Torah is supposed to bring us to. And that's why the Gemara in Nedarim asks the famous question, Alma of the Aretz, that the Navi asks, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The Navi answers, Asher Al Asher Ozva Es Tarasi, that they abandoned my Torah. And the Gemara says, what does that mean? It says, because they didn't say Birchas HaTorah before they learned Torah. They didn't say the Birchas HaTorah before they learned Torah every day. That's why the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, because they didn't say Birchas HaTorah? What does that mean? Because they learned Torah intellectually, they didn't learn Torah spiritually, and that's exactly the answer that the Tziva Shalom is saying. He's saying, because Vayidaber Elokim is kol advarim ha'ela leimar, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, whenever we engage in Torah, it has to be with what purpose? To come to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. To learn Torah intellectually, what does that do? It's a wonderful intellectual endeavor. It can be incredibly stimulating. It can stimulate your mind. But it can do nothing for your soul. And it doesn't have to affect your neshama a ki hu zeh. Right? I often tell this story. One of the most disturbing things when I was a young man, 19 years old, Shonabet in Gush, when I met a guy on a Friday night meal in Jerusalem who knew all of Shas Bal Peh, who knew every Rashi in Shas Bal Peh, lived in California, and he wasn't Shomer Shabbos. I was like, huh? Like, I don't understand. I couldn't, like, it was so mind-boggling to me. And he said he was a very wealthy guy. He wanted to memorize Shas. He wasn't from Shabbos, wasn't from, you know, the Talmud is our people. I wanted to memorize the Talmud, so he memorized the entire Talmud. He memorized every Rashi in Talmud. Rashi, his chashivas of Rashi was, how can you not be from Shabbos and know the whole Torah by heart? Like, it was wild to me. Because you don't say Birchas HaTorah first. Because Torah is not about engaging with God. Torah is not, and look, I feel guilty when I do this to my seniors in Berea. But I often tell them, no offense, chevra, your mom is so holy, and you're gevalt, and of course you're a holy Jewish woman, and I respect you amazingly, and I stand by what I say, I tell them, that everyone in this room knows more Torah than 95% of the Jews who ever lived. I believe that. I believe that. But I say most of you have never really learned Torah in your life. So seniors in high school, you think you're ready to make decisions about who you want to be in life. Where you want to go, what you want to do, you're going to go to seminary, no, I don't need seminary, I don't want to go to this area, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I said, I hate to tell you guys, most of you have never been Torah in your life. From K through 12, you know what you've been doing? You've been getting tests on Torah. So, do you know how soul-sucking that is? you know how neshama-destroying that is? Because then Chumash becomes social studies. And halacha becomes science. And no offense to any scientists, right? But it's not halacha, right? It's not halacha. No offense to historians. I enjoy the good historical stuff. I listen to Hamilton. It's fascinating, right? But that's not chumash. Come on. Like, what are we talking about? And I tell my students that every year. Every year I have the seniors, and every year, you don't remember, that's okay. You're an old lady by now, right? But you're like, don't judge Judaism by what you've learned in your 12 years of school. But I said, that's not really learning Torah. Because what's Torah? Anochi? You have to know that when you learn Torah and you live Torah, it's all the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all the names of God. You're taking it in. The Nefesh HaChaim writes in Shar Dalet, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, you know what learning Torah is? It's like shooting up pure God. That's what it is. I mean, it's very strange image, right? Okay, you know, it's like, ingesting. You're eating. You don't want to eat. I don't know, like shooting up doesn't mean heroin. It means vaccinations. We're not anti-vaxxers here, right, Michelle? We all believe in vaccinations in Springfield, right?
Interesting analogy.
What? You're like imbibing. I mean, right? Purim is coming. No, that you only snort bad things, right? I didn't say snorting. I said not everything in a syringe is bad for you, right? Lots of things in syringes are good for you. No. I've never experienced, but I've heard from my wife, right, that's right.
There's powder inhalers for it. Okay. I mean, let's, you know.
Right. But when you learn Torah, what it could do for a person, when you understand what a pasuk, well, you're reading a pasuk in Chumash, you know what that is? You're reading Rashi. And again, we don't even mean in the deepest levels. There were mamish holy, holy Jews that knew much less than us. But their souls were on fire because they knew what a word in Chumash was. Because I hate to say they weren't ruined, no offense to educators amongst us, but they weren't ruined by our educational system. And Torah was really the Dvar Hashem. That opening of Chumash was a religious experience, not just an intellectual educational experience. And this is what we struggle against. I mean, look, there are people who struggle against that for years, trying to undo the damage that they experienced in elementary school or more of in high school, right? Years later, they're trying to undo the damage. But that's part of the Chodesh HaShlishi. Coming back to what we started with, I apologize. Ooh, it's like, okay, coming back to what we started with, I found the sweet spot that past a certain point, past a certain time, most people's emails throw it back. It's too long. So I can't speak more than 35 minutes. Well, no, I'm not joking. A bunch of people's emails. And then someone's like, I didn't get it. I'm like, I sent it to you. I sent it. And then see, it came back. So then I have to get it posted on Why You Torah early so they can listen to it. Okay. So, but this is the Chodesh HaShlishi. This is the third Hischatshus. The third Hischatshus is that every day you can lose yourself in God again. Every day. That's the first chiddush, right? Yitzias Mitzrayim, Asher Atzeisis Chem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's the second chiddush. The third chiddush is Ano Nafshi Ksavas Yahavis Hashem Elokecha. I'm writing my soul and I'm giving it to you to come to Hashem Elokecha. That you should come to know me, you should come to care about me and love me and connect to me in the most real and the deepest way. And this is what we struggle about. This is what we have to come to, and this is why the Chiddush Yerim says, right? Vayidaber Elokim es kol advarim ha'ela lemar. The Medrash Shemos Rabba says, Vayidaber Elokim. When God opened up to say the Aseres HaDibros, everything in the world stopped. There wasn't a bird that was tweeting when Hashem came down on Har Sinai to say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Chidushim says, why? Why did not even have a bird sing, tweet? Why? No distractions. No one can say, I didn't hear. We live in a world that has never been this distracted. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. We live in a world that's never, never been this distracted. You know, I speak about it with my students, but adults also. You know, like now they tell you how many times you pick this up. They tell you how long your screen time has been this week. It's a frightening thing. How long do people look at this? But Chiddush Yerim says, Vayidaber, the whole world went silent. When you learn Torah, that's what you're supposed to try and do. That right now I'm learning Torah, the whole world is silent. We close ourselves off. We don't open ourselves up. We just listen to hear the voice of Hashem. That's really what it's about. And, you know, there are other ha'aris, there are other things to talk about. They're nice other important ha'aris, but this is really the key. To remember that every day there's a new divine energy of love, of creation coming into the world, right, that can help with refuas, that can help change whatever it is. There's the Yitzias Mitzrayim, whatever psychological, emotional pain that we're struggling from. That's Yitzias Mitzrayim, Votzesi, Vitzalti, Vigalti. Hashem can redeem us. Hashem can take us out of all of those things. And the third Chiddush, of course, is the Chiddush of the Spirit. It's the Chiddush of the Neshama, of once again being able to feel Hashem. And the fact that you didn't enjoy learning Torah I don't know how many years ago. It doesn't mean anything about today. It doesn't mean anything about today. And as one of my students challenged me, says, I haven't found anything I enjoyed in all the years. I said, you think you've studied all of Torah? I said, tell me, have you ever opened up a one Hasidish book? I really believe it. Again, you know, that's why, to me, that's pshat in the Melech Melech. But I'm a crazy believer that I really believe that Mashiach's not coming until the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov spreads throughout the world. There's nothing that speaks to a soul today like Hasidus. I don't think, I mean, the Rav Soloveitchik himself said it. Most of the ideas he's saying are Hasidus, just said nicely. I mean, from his Melamed, he learned Tanya when he was a little boy. That's what, before he learned Baba Kama, he learned Tanya of the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch. And so what we have to do is we have to know, we have to explore Torah. It's so easy to explore Torah today. It's so easy to learn Torah. You know, at Chalashuddas, Rachel sometimes hears me go off, and Sarah sometimes hears me go off at Chalashuddas. There's certain things I go off on Chalashuddas. You know, no one could be taping me. You know, people know, okay, the rabbi's going to go crazy, so some people just go into the Beis Medrash like it's too intense for them. But I've said it often, and I said it in a drush a couple of weeks ago that really also shook people up a little bit. That was like a little taste of Chalashuddas in the main drusha spot. But I mean it when I say, in today's day and age, if someone doesn't learn Torah, it's because they don't care about Torah. I'm serious. And I hate to put it out so bluntly. If a person doesn't learn Torah today, it's because she or he does not care about Torah. It's crazy how easy it is to learn. Again, why you Torah? Torah anytime? Do you realize just those two websites? Do you know you have over 100,000, easily, over 100,000 shiurim of Torah? All in English. Well, Torah anytime, some are in Yiddish and some are in Hebrew. Okay. So the English, you have over 100, you can't find something in 100,000. 100,000 shiurim, you can't find it, nothing I like. Really? Really? And the podcasts, right? The podcasts, it's unbelievable. We're living in a time when Hashem is saying, please, please, it's here. Please, just look. I want a relationship with you. I want to be connected to you. And again, Hashem has to make it so easy. Why does Hashem have to make it so easy? Because there's never been this many distractions. Zelu mazel salohim, right? It always has to be in balance. There always has to be that balance of the light and the klipas, of the positive and of the head there, the holding back of the light and the darkness. It has, so it is, meaning there's never been this much Torah in the world today. And as I tell my students, I believe a 12th grade girl in Berea, the average 12th grade girl in Berea knows more Torah than 95% of the Jews who ever lived. But at the same time, for that Torah to pierce a soul, it's never been harder. And that's what the Vilna Gaon said. He said, in Ikfsid Mashiach, in the generations before Mashiach, it's going to be the hardest time for us to be a firm Jew. And so everyone here, we have to fight hard. There are no guarantees. We have to fight. We have to fight. It's a struggle. But this is why the bracha that we make, and women mechuyavos, right? The Mechaber says, even Sephardi women have to say this bracha. Right? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah, because Sephardi women normally don't say bracha mitzvah. On a mitzvah number. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. It's not to learn Torah. It's not to know Torah. I have to be osek in Torah. I have to be busy in Torah. And that's what we have to do. We have to make ourselves busy in Torah. And even if today we weren't, even if yesterday we weren't, even if the past 5 years we haven't been. B'chodesh HaShlishi, the third Hischadshus, every day, is b'chol yom yuvei necha k'chadoshim. Every day they should be new. Every day your neshama is restored, a new opportunity to connect to Hashem in the deepest way. B'atzlacha rabba, good luck with this holy, holy task. Okay.